Well, we're at Matthew chapter 5, verses 38, 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And whoever compels, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father God, as we come today to these words of Jesus, give us understanding, we pray. And bless them to us that we might bless others in turn for his sake. Amen. Well, the passage that we've just read, verses 38 to 42, like most of this section we've been studying from this first part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, has been subject to many misunderstandings. For a start, some have suggested that on the basis of this passage and other parallel passages, that if Jesus was on about anything at all, it's clearly that his main aim was to teach his disciples to be pacifists and anti-war. Others have looked at this passage and concluded instead that non-resistance is what Jesus was about. Now, though these conclusions that people have reached really don't give the complete picture of everything that Jesus taught, and especially everything Jesus did, you might be able to see that by lifting them out of their context and giving them extra emphasis, you can understand how people have reached such conclusions. Others have taken a passage like this and highlighted the obvious contradiction here between the Old and the New Testament. The Old championed by Moses, that terrible law. The New championed by Jesus, that wonderful love. The Old calling for an eye for an eye. The New telling us, no, that's not the way. So many views, so many differing conclusions. What did Jesus mean when he said all that he said? Is it anti-war Jesus here? Is it pacifist Jesus here? Is it I'm against the Old Testament Jesus here? Or is it something and someone different again? Let's look at these 3 points. First, note that Jesus taught there is no room in God's law for vengeance. There is no room in God's law for vengeance. In verse 38, we find Jesus again attacking the false interpretation of the law. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus knew that the passage was being quoted by the Pharisees, and they were using it to argue that personal vengeance was a command allowed for by Moses. It was okay, because the Bible says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Well, the original intent of the law that God gave Moses in Leviticus 24 was not a law promoting personal revenge. It was intended to do a couple of things. On the one hand, it was there to discourage people from seeking personal revenge. In the ancient Near East, as it is today, blood feuds are very common and typical. Families will fall out with one another or run across one another in some sort of dispute, and generations later they will still be fighting. But it's not just in the Middle East, is it? Think of the Campbells and the McDonalds in Scotland, or the Hatfields and the McCoys in the US. We've all heard of these families. How did the law of God deal with this? Well, there are many ways, but one we read about a number of weeks ago in Numbers 34. If you were accidentally involved in the manslaughter of your neighbour, what could you do? for surely that family would seek revenge. God told Moses in Numbers 34 to set up cities of refuge where the offender could go and be safe. So also the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, was a law designed like the city of refuge law. It was to undercut the practice of personal revenge. Also, this law in Leviticus was designed to administer justice through the courts. It stood as a counsel on giving proportionate punishment, and assumes that the judge would be guided by this law in meting out punishment that was fair and appropriate. So notice that it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, not a tooth for an eye or an eye for a tooth. In other words, if someone injures someone to the loss of a tooth, that punishment should be the equivalent of something like that, a tooth, not an eye, which is more precious. It should be proportionate to the loss. Whether it's a monetary fine or some sort of other fine, the penalty ought to fit the crime. If the person has taken someone's life, should the penalty be proportionate to taking of a person's tooth? Obviously not. In other words, the penalty should be neither too lax or too severe. It ought to be appropriate. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That is not a call to personal vengeance. That is a call to equity, to fairness. Then the law was designed to put the fear of God into people who do wrong. Such people ought to fear the swiftness and the severity of the punishment meted out by this law. These all stand behind this law that the Pharisees deliberately ignored and misconstrued to allow personal vengeance. Something that the Old Testament forbids. Did you hear that? That's what I said. The Old Testament forbids personal vengeance. It's not that the Old Testament teaches you can take vengeance and the New Testament says you can't. The Old Testament says you can't take vengeance and the New Testament repeats that. Leviticus 19, 17 to 18 and then 34 combine to say this, as we'll hear about it in 2 weeks' time. Love your neighbour and love the stranger. That's what they say. This is what God commanded from the outset. We can so easily forget that. We can be caught up in this opinion that the Old Testament is all about vengeance and evil and punishment and law. But it's not. It's about grace. It's about love. And we can so easily think, as many Christians wrongly think, that we are called to be instruments in the world of hate and revenge and judgment. Think of Westboro Baptist Church in America and their anti-homosexuality stance, which flows into pure hatred. That's not what we're about. We're not about eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Do you find that hard? Do you wish that it were so? Is there a bitterness for something in you that's happened to you, that's done to you in the past, that you're nursing, that you wish you could do that eye for eye, tooth for tooth? Perhaps something that wasn't done to you that should have been. Perhaps something you felt that you deserved. And someone close, whether that be husband, wife, son, daughter, mother, father, friend, business associate, neighbour, minister, elder, you've nursed that grudge along waiting for that opportunity so that you could put into practice that vengeance that you wish you could do. And you'd be pleased if the Lord extracted that vengeance too. But now that you've heard it's not an option, are you sad? Does that affect you? That eye for eye is no longer the plan? Secondly, to follow that up, Jesus taught that there must be much room in our attitude for mercy. Much room in our attitudes and our lives for mercy. In contrast to the Pharisees in verse 39. Jesus taught that our minds must not be guided by an attitude of revenge, but of forgiveness. Verse 39, he says, I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Jesus gives his interpretation of the law, and while condemning lovelessness, hatred and revenge, urges us as his followers to have in our attitudes and in our words and in our deeds a desire to show that we can rise above that which is debased and filled with hate to respond with kindness but not in kind. Not responding in kind, that is, in the same way, but responding in kindness. His followers are not to do what the world does when they are treated badly with evil. Now, he doesn't have in mind here criminal acts of murder or rape or violence, saying that we should just ignore those and just allow those. He doesn't have that in mind. But what he has in mind are insults and offences that are aimed at the level of our dignity. Things that would come against us, that would injure us, not physical harm, but emotional, psychological harm. Words that are spoken at you that say, oh, you're just that. Such low acts are not to be returned in the manner in which they were given. That's not our call. Now, you all know that this world is full of so many sad things and that people will do physical and emotional violence and abuse to others without second thoughts. And as we've learned from 1 Peter, believers will often be on the receiving end of unjust treatment. And we might well want to avoid such situations, and I can understand that, of course. But these are the very circumstances, aren't they, that Jesus wants us to show that his grace is greater and that his love is stronger. And the very situations where our response, the response we make to low suggestions or low comments to us, will reflect how different our agenda really is, how different from the world we are. And some believers have done this well, forgiving those who have even hurt them physically or murdered their children. And they've said so publicly, in the midst of our pain, we forgive those who've sinned against us in this way. And if they can do that with great big offences, they urge us to be willing to let minor offences go through to the wicked keeper. Remember that back in verse 8, Jesus referred to us as peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker in this respect? When you are offended, do you lash back in hate? Do you return kind for kind, like for like, eye for eye, tooth for tooth? Or do you respond in the way that Jesus says? Do not resist an evil person. Remember that the way Jesus tells us to adopt is not the doormat approach. He doesn't mean that we should just let everyone take advantage of us. He's not requiring that we either take a passive approach and just let it all work out. He is requiring us to surrender the right to fight back. You have a right to it, but give it up. He speaks of the attitude we should have towards those who wrong us. Rather than getting even, we should be willing to go to the opposite extreme and be ready to not give out what people deserve. And that is mercy. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. It is always God's job. And it's in that difficulty that we find out what's in our hearts. And it's often not good. When under the extreme test of pressure, if it becomes clear to you that there is anger and there is hate and there is a desire for revenge within, watch out. Because this can become something so serious and so dangerous. Thirdly, Jesus taught there has to be plentiful room in our hearts for love. Plentiful room in our hearts for love. Verses 39 to 42 is stated so clearly in four illustrations he gives us, beginning at the end of verse 39. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him also the other. When anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. See, he speaks about responding to those who threaten injury. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What's described here is an insulting slap, which is not an attempt to do bodily harm, but a deliberate effort to insult and perhaps provoke retaliation. An insulting slap. Everybody, every schoolboy knows the law of the playground. You hit me, I'll hit you back twice as hard. That's what our world believes is right. And that stands in complete opposition to what Jesus is saying here, that if you are imposed upon and the only thing that's at stake is your reputation, your feelings, your rights, then forego those rights and do not strike back. Jesus is saying, for the sake of the gospel, you must be willing to bear what you must bear. Think of Stephen, a man who, because he loved men and women and wanted them to come to Christ and experience salvation, was preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of the word of God to those Jews. And they took up stones and they stoned him to death for what he said. This passage is not a call for us to defend our families. It's not a call for us to defend others or our nation. Far from it. It's a call to endure what we must endure, forego our own rights, if all that is at stake is our own rights and our reputation. Then in verse 40, Jesus tells us how to respond to those who would rob us of our belongings. How would we respond to them? Jesus says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat. Don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. He's not telling you that you cannot resort to a court of law. His point is to detect an attitude within us that if we are quick to demand our rights and say, no, this is mine, you can't have that. If we're quick to press our interests despite the needs of others presented to us, if we're quick to seek justice and quick to look after ourselves, then we might well miss what his kingdom's about. Can we let go of the mindset that the world has adopted, that we also think is ours to adopt, by which we forget about our rights and forget about others who treat us, and be quick instead to respond to hurt with grace, not retaliation or revenge? Then in verse 41, he speaks of those who would deprive us of our liberty, those who want us to press us into the service that we don't want to be in. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Even in the ancient Persian mail service, there was a law that the Medes and the Persians had that basically said that a mail carrier could press you or your animal into service any time he wanted or needed to get the king's mail through. He could say to you, you must come with me, I now compel you to carry my bag for 1 mile. It was true in Roman times as well, and there may be a reference here to this. If the mail carrier has told you, you've got to help me, you've got to give me your animal and walk with me for a mile, Jesus says, go with him too. Go the extra mile. Again, see the principle, the willingness to suffer loss in order that others are benefited. Think of Joseph in this regard, Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, who was not treated well by his brothers, when he had the power to extract revenge upon his brothers, Joseph refrained from that revenge and did good to his brothers. He fed them, he cared for them, he housed them, he blessed them, he made peace with them. He could have insisted on his rights. He could have had them dragged before the courts and be imprisoned, guilty of manslaughter, guilty of kidnapping, assisting slave trading. He didn't insist upon those rights. Then in verse 42, Jesus speaks of those who would want to exploit our generosity. He says, "Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." Here he tells of the way we ought to respond to those in distress and need assistance. How do you respond when appeals are made for financial help? How do you respond in your giving, in your charity? Do you respond with generosity, or, "Oh, I'm grudgingly going to give here"? Do you give but regretting it every step of the way? Harder too when those who seek our aid are those who don't quite fit the social norms, like the two men we had at morning tea the other week. They smelt terribly, but came presenting a need. How do we respond to that? If we have a hardened heart in that area, that could lead to further hardening in other respects. Hardening against the poor, against those who don't measure up socially, against those who are disadvantaged. How do we feel about the Syrian refugees? If we had an appeal, how much would you give to see them safely housed in Australia? How much would you give? Would you give as much as you could? Would you grudgingly give a few dollars? Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Well, what's the answer? At the start, I presented all these different scenarios about Jesus in this text. What's Jesus on about in this text? Well, the answer is this. It's about giving up your rights. This is the Jesus who speaks to us. He wants us to give up our rights for the sake of the kingdom of God and for the good of the gospel, and therefore for others. Give up your rights. Think of that in relation to our fellowship together. There are always going to be offences committed one to another. We will not ever be the perfect church. We will always trot on each other's corns, even if we don't intend to. And if your corns are trodden on, and if you always insist on holding to your rights every time that you are offended, you're going to find it hard in this church family, in any church family. Love has to be larger than the fault. Jesus, who gave up his rights to the glory he knew in heaven, who humbled himself to become one of us and humbled himself all the way to the cross, expects us, as his disciples, to forbear and absorb and forgive and love, even when that includes great cost to ourselves, even death to our pride. He asked nothing more from us than what he did himself. He loved his Father all the way to the cross, and he went there for those who refused to forgive and who would prefer revenge to forgiveness, and who will rather shut others out rather than open their arms to them. Offences will come, but for the sake of the gospel, because of the example and the teaching of the Master, go the way of Jesus. And to do that, we'll need his grace to help us. So let's look to him and let's pray. We thank you, Lord our God, for this, your word. We thank you for the challenge before us today. It's often only our pride that is hurt, when people offend us? And what is that in the light of eternity? What does our pride matter? What do our rights matter? We sang before, if Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice too great can be for me to make. I give my life, a sacrifice of living worship to the Lamb of God. Forgive us when we've not said those words, sung those words and meant them, just mouthed them. We're far too interested in our own kingdom. Some things we won't give up. Some things we'll cling to, hold to. Territory where you're not allowed in. Please forgive us. Help us as we think about Jesus who loved us all the way to the cross, who not only turned the other cheek but gave up his whole life for our sake. It's not too much that we give up our lives for one another and even for those for whom he died that we seek to entreat into the kingdom. Forgive us where we've been holding out on granting forgiveness and we've wanted to have revenge instead. We surrender that right now to you and pray that you'd help us to live in peace and show the love of Christ who loved us. These things we can't do ourselves. We pray for your help, just where we are in our seats today. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.